The following message, Profitable Faith, Part 2, was based on Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. This message was delivered on Sunday evening, March 17, 2019, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Mike Brackett of Reformed Baptist Church of Richmond, Virginia.
Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15 again. When I was talking to some of the people after the sermon this morning, a couple of them encouraged me to go back and continue in this passage. So if you have any complaints, I'll ask you to speak to them and not to me. In Matthew chapter 15, the passage that we considered this morning begins in verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he, that is Jesus, did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting out after us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Let us again pray and ask for God's help. Lord our God, we confess that apart from the Spirit's operations tonight, that we will not profit, that natively we are unable to. It is only by your grace and by your help that we can not only understand correctly, but that we appropriately apply your word. So we plead, O God, do not leave us to ourselves. We pray that you might get yourself glory through the manifestation of your power and the preaching of your holy word. We ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, with recent events, it is clear that there's a great deal of hatred in the world that often expresses itself in murder. And we looked at something of how we can deal with that from Matthew chapter 5 earlier today and seeking to overcome our sinful anger. And when we see all of these things happening, it would be easy for us to begin to despair. But there is good news, and that good news is found in Jesus Christ, that he is the one who can take away the hearts of conflict and strife and can give us hearts of love and peace. And we see that with this woman here in this chapter, this Canaanite woman, a Syrophoenician woman, as she comes and exercises faith in Jesus Christ. And this morning we looked at this woman's faith, and particularly the fact that it was a profitable faith. It was not merely a faith that had no works and no fruit to it, but it is a faith that has indeed proved itself profitable because it caused her to see and to flee the works of the devil as the devil was at work in her daughter, and she sought Jesus to deliver her from that work. And it caused her to forsake her former gods, her former ways, that the Canaanite religion had many gods. And they were, in this woman's case, and in all cases, impotent to really help her. And thus she turns away from that religion and from those gods and comes to the only Savior of the world, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so her faith proved to be a profitable faith because it was not empty. It's caused her to see, to flee the works of the devil, to forsake her former gods and ways, and it caused her to see her helplessness and hopelessness. She saw that there was no hope in any other than Jesus Christ, and it's to him she comes and seeks relief. So those are the negative aspects of her faith. What I would like to do now is to point you to the positive aspects of her faith and what it produced. And with regard to that, there are several things that her faith did by way of a positive nature. And when you see all these notes, don't get too alarmed. This is several, five sermons condensed into two, I hope. By way of her profitable faith and its positive aspects, then, if we have a profitable faith, it will cause us to believe in Jesus Christ. What does faith do when it's genuine saving faith? It causes us to believe about Jesus Christ. This woman, we read, verse 22, comes to Jesus out of the region of Tyre and Sidon, and she begins to cry out, asking for mercy, and she identifies Jesus as the Lord, as the Son of David. So that this woman, as we say in the South, said a mouthful. She confesses that Jesus is the Lord, that he is the master of the universe, and that he is the Son of David. And what that means is that he is the covenant promised child from the Davidic covenant. God swore to David that the seed that is promised in Genesis 3 that would come and undo the curse and the works of the devil and again bring blessing to God's people and continues on till the time of Abraham, and there is the promised seed that would come and would bring blessing to all the nations, comes to David as king, and God says to David that David will have a son, a seed, who will sit upon the throne of Israel over God's people forever, and that he will bring them peace and safety and blessing. And thus Matthew's gospel starts out by identifying Jesus as the son of Abraham, the son of David. This is the promised child, the son, the seed that will bring about the covenant blessings of God. And this lady identifies Jesus as that promised seed. She understands who Jesus is, who he claims to be. And as we noted, she had either heard that from those that we read in Mark 7, had gone down from Tyre and Sidon, and who had seen and heard Jesus. And when the demons were coming out in that passage in Mark 7, it says they were confessing who Jesus was. And so either personally she had been down, or these who had been down come back and tell her. She takes that truth to heart, and she comes to Jesus as the Lord, as the Son of David, the one who has been promised since time began, since the fall of man, who would come and be the Savior of God's people. Rightly then does she come and cry out for mercy, and that he would deal with this demon that has possessed her daughter. If our faith is a profitable faith, the first thing it will do is cause us to believe about Jesus. But of course, it's not enough to believe about Jesus, is it? It will also cause us to cast ourselves upon Jesus. There are many people who believe the truth about Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, was crucified and died for the sins of his people, who was buried and raised again, and who is now enthroned in heaven. A lot of people will confess that, but that's not the same thing as coming to cast yourself upon that truth. And, you know, it's one of those areas of preaching and theology where you have to keep multiplying terms, because back in the 60s particularly, the idea of being born again got taken away by the world, so that anybody that had any kind of crisis experience were suddenly speaking of being, it was like I was born again. So the church sort of lost its terminology to the world because the world grabbed it and used it. And the same way when we talk about faith, people now, when you talk about faith, think about, oh, I agree with that, but it's not just agreement. That's not faith. That's only a part of faith. It is coming to entrust ourselves to that truth, to live in light of that truth, to act like that truth is really true, so that we come to entrust ourselves into the hands of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. This woman, you see, didn't just hear and agree. She comes to Jesus seeking mercy to find grace and help in her time of need. And so faith, profitable faith, isn't just believing about Jesus. It's actually coming to cast ourselves upon Jesus, to rest upon who He is, what He has done, and what He promises and says in His Word. But thirdly, if ours is profitable faith, as it was with this woman, it will cause us to submit to Jesus Christ. Notice her language in verse 22. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from the region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She confesses that Jesus is Lord. Not just that He can save her, but that He is the one over her, that He is the sovereign, that He is the one to be bowed down to and to be submitted to. We read that she comes and bows down before Him and takes the posture of a worshiper, the posture of submission at His feet, the posture of supplication, of seeking Him to rule and help, so that hers is not a vain, useless faith. It is a profitable faith that causes us not only to sense our need, but to seek the one who can help us, to submit what we are into the Lordship and into the hands of Jesus Christ, to recognize Him as our Master. If I remember correctly, it was the preacher George W. Truett down in Texas who used to go around and preach to cowboys. He would gather up congregations of cowboys and preach the gospel to them. And one of his favorite ways of speaking to them was that they should come under to the Master, that they should submit to Jesus Christ, put themselves under His authority, that He would become their boss, their supervisor, their Master, their Lord. And if faith is to be profitable, it must produce in us this submission to Jesus Christ. And fourthly, if it's profitable faith, it will cause us to seek mercy from Jesus Christ. She comes as a pauper. She offers nothing to our Lord. She doesn't barter on her own goodness. She comes as an outsider, a Gentile. She comes as one considered in Israel as being unclean and defiled ceremonially. She comes from an idolatrous and sinful people. According to Deuteronomy 7, she comes from tribes that are under the curse of God, whom Israel was supposed to destroy when they came into the country because of their idolatry, of their sorcery, their divination, as we read this morning. All of these things are true, and she doesn't come then telling how much she's worth. She doesn't come seeking to bargain or buy. She simply submits and sues Jesus for mercy. She doesn't come demanding. She comes pleading for compassion, for charity, for pity's sake, that Jesus would look upon her and help her. She looks by faith to Jesus for mercy and for help, from deliverance, from the cruelty of the dominion of Satan, for the devastation and destruction that the devil is producing. That, my friends, is profitable faith. When it produces in us that, then it is true and saving faith. A faith, a belief that is not useless or vain. What does profitable faith do? It causes us to believe about Jesus, but it does more than that. It causes us to come and to entrust ourselves to Jesus, to submit ourselves to Jesus, and to seek mercy from Jesus. And I have no doubt that there are mothers I know in one case I'm absolutely sure that there is a mother who is sitting here right now this evening who is demonstrating just such faith. And I suppose that there are others as well who have come this afternoon to worship and bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ, who have come to the triune God by faith, who are here seeking mercy and favor, and like this woman, interceding for their own children, praying to the God of heaven that Jesus might be merciful to sons and daughters, that they are crying out to God as they come even to worship God. Perhaps some sitting here praying even for you this afternoon, that you might turn and be delivered even as this daughter was delivered. I actually began this series of sermons on Mother's Day several years ago as an example of the faith of a mother, of her intercession, of her faith in pleading for her child, for that daughter's deliverance who was cruelly demon-possessed. And I know that if there are Christian mothers and fathers sitting here, then I'm just as sure that they are praying for the salvation of their children, that they are pleading with Jesus Christ to intervene and to intercede in this matter and to grant them mercy and help lest their children perish, and that they might be released from the bondage that they are under, captive to their own lust and taken captive by Satan at his will. I know that is true because it's the heart of every true parent. It is the heart of every true Christian parent that they come and plead with Jesus Christ. I remember my own mother's prayers and my own mother's pleadings, though she died when I was 15 years old. And the deepest regret I have is that I did not appreciate, nor did I follow her example sooner, but wasted years in wandering in darkness and sin. I would plead with you if you sit here this day that it not be true of you any longer, but that you might flee to Jesus Christ and see the prayers of an interceding mother or father answered this very day, this very hour. Would you go to Christ and call upon Him, my friend? Call upon Jesus while it is still the day of grace and the day of salvation. Seek Him while He may be found. And He offers Himself to you in the gospel. He even pleads that men might come. And I plead with you as an ambassador of Christ that you might this hour stack the weapons of your rebellion, lay down the arms that you use against Christ and His kingdom, and be done with them, and turn to Christ and believe, and give yourself over to the Master this very hour. Paul can write to the Colossians and say, "For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins." Jesus Christ can deliver you from the dominion of darkness, from Satan, and deliver you to the kingdom of light, forgiving your sins and making you a child of God. If you will but look to Him, you may live. It is your sin that stands between you and the holy God. It is your love of it, your practice of it, and that is an offense to God. It places you under God's wrath. But Jesus stands ready to save, and He is easily entreated. And thus He will say in Matthew's gospel, "Come unto Me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." My friend, do you not feel the weight and the guilt of your sin? And would you not have freedom from it and know the rest that there is in Jesus Christ? What it is to be forgiven and cleansed and pure and to be able to walk with the Lord. Jesus stands ready to save. He is full of compassion, joined with power, that He may deliver you. Repent and come to Him this very hour and know what it is to be saved from Satan, sin, and death. Cast yourself upon Him. He will receive you. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. His yoke, he says, is easy. His burden is light. He's not a hard taskmaster. Now, when I was young, my parents made me go to church every time the doors was open. And I mean made. And I've sat where some of you are sitting right now. And I would hear the preacher preach. And it's as though Satan would come and whisper in my mind, Christianity has got to be the hardest way to live that there is. Have some fun first. Satan's a liar. Christianity is not the hardest way to live. It's the easiest way. I didn't say it was easy. It is the easiest, most pleasurable, most enjoyable way to live that there is upon this earth. Satan is a liar. Let me ask you this. Have you ever met anybody who's a true Christian who's sorry they came to Jesus Christ? Have you ever met anybody who wishes they would have waited a little longer and had a little more sinful fun before they came to Jesus Christ? You never will. Every true Christian wishes they would have come sooner, that they would have sinned less, that they would have known the joys of being in Christ Jesus sooner. My friends, the devil is the father of lies. Jesus says he is. He is the father of lies. And he will come and lie to you and seek to steal away the gospel seed so that it has no effect upon you. But do not let him do that. Go to Christ. Fly to Christ. Go like this woman in faith to Christ and sue for mercy. Plead your case that Christ may deliver you and save you this very hour. This woman's faith was surely tried. She's following along. The language of the text is she kept on crying out after them. And finally, the disciples she gets no answer. Jesus won't answer her. She's crying out. The multitudes are around him, and she's crying to the Lord, shouting out, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She gets no answer. A lot of people would have quit, but her faith wouldn't let her quit. Finally, the disciples get weary and they go to Jesus and they say, look, she's interrupting things here. We can't hear anything. She's crying out all the time. And they're in essence saying, Lord, how about doing something about this? And Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's my task. That's my mission. Later, the gospel will go forth into all the world. But right now, my mission is to Israel. So the disciples basically rebuke her. She still won't be quiet. Finally, she gets an audience with Jesus. And Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not right to take the food that was meant for the children and give it to the dogs. That would have discouraged a lot of people. She comes back and says, yes, but even the dogs get to eat of the crumbs. And here you are feeding the children. Is there not a crumb for me? Is there not mercy for me? Here I am. You're right on the border of Tyre and Sidon. You're right on the edge of the table here. Some bread is dropping over. Some crumbs are falling into Tyre and Sidon. Is there not mercy for me? And she will not let the Lord go. Her faith is severely tried. And yet she cries out. She keeps crying. She prostrates herself before the Lord. And she reasons with our Lord from his own words until she gets what she came for. Indeed, what was necessary. She is an example of great faith. Jesus says, old woman, great is thy faith. She won't give up. She won't quit. Now, our Lord knew what he was going to do before he ever got there. She didn't know, but our Lord did. And he tries and he tests her faith. And her faith is not found wanting. She is a woman of tenacity, of resolve. She will not let him go until she gets what she came for. How many times do we pray and it's like the heavens are made out of brass and our prayers don't get, it seems, above the ceiling. But you see, the Lord hears. The Lord knows. She doesn't quit just because they go unanswered, because it's not a want. This is a need. This is a necessity. This is her daughter's life. And so she continues to cry out and will not let the Lord go. She is an example, brethren, of perseverance and praying, of continuing to seek what we really need. Now, many times in that, the Lord is teaching us, is he not, what we really need? He's saying if we understand, and many times, of course, we quit praying for things because it becomes apparent, I don't really need that. But she really needed this. She had to have it for her daughter's sake, and she prays, she pleads, she continues in spite of all that is done. No answer. Nobody's hearing her. She's told by the followers of Christ to go away, to be quiet. She still won't do it. And even our Lord says, there's good reason why I'm not answering you. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she finds even a way around that. Yes, Lord. But even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs. She has a lesson, brethren, in perseverance, in keeping the faith, even when it seems like things aren't going to work out, even when it seems as though God is not hearing, God seems to be not answering, that when we have true needs to continue to press heaven, to storm heaven with our prayers, and to keep the faith. Now, her pleading with our Lord and her interaction with the Lord, she is an example in her faith of profound humility. As I noted this morning, by gender, maybe I didn't this morning, but I will now, gender, a woman trying to get an audience with the teacher would not have been a favorable thing, but she does not let that stop her. By nationality, she should have had no audience. By race, no audience. By religion, all these things seem to be against her. And to hear our Lord say, I came only to the lost sheep, the house of Israel. She could have been terribly insulted by that. And she could have gone away. Even worse, to hear Jesus say, you don't take the children's food and give it to the dogs, could have been greatly offensive. But she is a woman of great humility. She is not easily offended. She is not a prideful woman. And our Lord, in saying, you don't take the children's food and give it to the dogs, is not being as severe as some people think, I believe. There's two different words for dog, and one of them is the idea of the grown, vicious street dog, and it's the idea usually of bad character that is used. In Philippians 3:2, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. Or Revelation 22:15, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons. But here our Lord uses the diminutive. He says, even the little dogs, or it's not right to give the food to the little dogs. So he's not using the word that is normally has bad connotations of the vicious street dogs. He's not using that in that sense. Our Lord is simply giving an illustration. If you prepare food for your children and you have the little dogs under the table, you don't take the plate and set it under the table. You give it to the children. I've been sent to the children of Israel. They get first opportunity. From there, the gospel will go forth into all the world. But you don't take the children's food off the table and give it to the little dogs. And she says, that's true, Lord. But when the crumbs fall off, the little dogs get them. Is there not a little crumb for me? And she takes the Lord's own words, as it were, and sort of uses them, turns them around on him, and says, yes, but even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs when they fall off. I'm not asking you to come to Tyre and Sidon and preach the gospel. I'm asking you for just one little crumb for my daughter and I that you might deliver us. Matthew Henry says, here is the strength of her faith and resolution in breaking through all these discouragements. Many a one thus tried would either have sunk into silence or broken out into passion. Here is cold comfort, she might have said, for a poor distressed creature. As good for me to have stayed at home as come thither to be taunted at and abused at this rate, not only to have a piteous case slighted, but to be called a dog. A proud and humbled heart would not have borne it. The reputation of the house of Israel was not now so great in the world, but that this sight put upon the Gentiles was capable of being retorted had this poor woman been so minded. It might have occasioned a reflection upon Christ and might have been a blemish upon his reputation, as well as a shock to the good opinion she had entertained of him. For we are out to judge of persons as we ourselves find them and think that they are what they are to us. Is this the son of David? Might she have said. Is this he that has such a reputation for kindness, tenderness, and compassion? I am sure I have no reason to give him that character, for I was never treated so roughly in my life. He might have done as much for me as others, or if not, he needed not to have set me with the dogs of his flock. I am not a dog. I am a woman, and an honest woman, and a woman in misery, and I am sure it is not meet for me to be called a dog. No, here is not a word of this. Note, a humble, believing soul truly loves Christ, takes everything in good part that he says and does, and puts the best construction upon it. Here is a woman with a humble heart. In the midst of her tenacity, in the midst of her arguing with her Lord, it is not from pride, it is from humility. He is her only hope, and she believes that she can find mercy with the Son of David. She does not doubt. In the end, he will do what is best and right. He must have his purposes and his reasons if he is delaying. She continues to seek to plead her cause because she has no place else to go. You remember when all the disciples turned away and Jesus turns to the 12 and says, will you also go away? And what do they say? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We got no other place to go. This woman realized that. There is no other place. There's no one who can deliver. No one can bind Satan but you, Lord. You are the Lord. You're the promised seed. You're the covenant one who's going to bring blessing to the nations. Lord, here I am. Can I not get but a crumb of that? Do I have to wait, or can you not now extend your word and it will be done? And that is exactly what she finds with the Lord. He is the master. If he says it, it will be done. You know, with regard to the centurion who had the sick servant, Jesus commends him. Not so great a faith in all of Israel, he says. And you know what the issue was? Jesus said, I'll go down and heal your servant. And he says, no, Lord, I'm a man of authority. I say to this one, you go there, and to this one, you go there, and they go. If you but say the word, my servant will be healed. You don't have to go. You just will it. You just say it. That's all it takes. This woman had that kind of faith. Great is your faith. And Jesus says, be it to you, even as your faith. Great faith, dear people, requires great humility. To bow, to submit, to press on, to continue to believe. And here we have a great example. If you want great faith, you know what you need to do? Destroy your pride. Destroy your self-importance. Get rid of thinking highly of yourself, of being easily offended, of thinking that you are deserving, and cultivate lowliness of mind. Esteem others better than yourself. and see that anything this side of the devil's hell is God's mercy, and that we are not worthy of the least of his tender mercies. And so this woman comes and pleads and turns our Lord's words upon themselves, as it were, and says, "What you're saying I agree with. You don't take the children's plate of food and give it to the little dogs under the table, but they get to eat what falls off. Is there a crumb that can fall for me?" Here is a mother of great faith who is an example to us, and her faith ultimately prevails. In all of our situations, brethren, we never know what will befall us, what kind of difficulties will come. But we know that there is sufficient grace in Jesus Christ, and we must continually look to Him in faith. I would plead in closing with you, children, I would plead with you not to squander the opportunities you have. As the gospel comes to you, as your mothers, your fathers pray for you, it is a great thing to have a praying mother and a praying father, a praying spouse. Do not squander those things, but heed the Lord's invitations and come to the Lord while He may be found. May God help us to be a people of great faith and to believe that Jesus is who He says He is, that He is a Lord who is full of compassion, of mercy, and that He is the one who hears His people when they pray. And even if you're not one of His people, if you will pray the prayer of repentance and cast yourself upon Him, He will receive you even in this hour. May God help you to go to Christ while He may be found. Let us pray. Father, we come to You and we acknowledge that Jesus is a great Savior. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that He has been given all power in heaven and in earth. That He is the one who can break our bondage, who can save our souls, who can forgive our sins. We thank You for the example of this woman's great faith in the midst of much that was discouraging. We pray, Lord, that we, too, would be a people of great faith, even when it looks like we're not heard or heeded, when it looks like we're not cared about. Help us never to doubt the heart of Jesus Christ. May we, Lord, be a people of prayer, a people of faith, and may we be a people who intercede for our children, for our fellow church members, for our fellow countrymen. We pray, O Lord, that You would send Your gospel forth, that it may run and flow and have free course in this community, in our whole country, and all over the world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.